later this that. Year.
Hannah, could you move your mic in front of your face?
Well, I thought it would be kind of like fun and creative to just kind of point my mic away from my face. And maybe we could all just like take a minute to appreciate the world around us, okay? Instead of, you know.
As Noelle, like, continues to adjust your mic.
Hooked in to a microphone and, like, a system. What if we just, like, listen to the sounds of the birds? And
Hannah, do you think the birds don't exist within a system?
What are you saying?
The birds are government spies. Birds aren't real, Hannah.
Yeah, birds are not fucking real.
No, that's not true. Junko loves me.
No,
dude, that's a robot.
Junko's a robot.
Junko's a robot.
Junko.
You guys are wrong. I'm going to talk to Junko about this, and she's going to explain everything, and it's going to be fine.
Hannah?
I'm calling her right now.
Hannah, Junko's a government spy.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. Hello? Junko? Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. Listen. Junko, are you sick? Okay, well, anyway, don't worry about it. I called you because... Junko, I can come over if you're not feeling good. I could bring you some cough syrup or... Yeah, well, anyway, remember how you told me that I should... Right, I mean, that's true. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. It's just, remember how you were telling me that I should distance myself from all my real relationships because I can't trust anybody and you're the only one who truly... Right, you're the only one who truly has my best interest at heart. So, you are totally right.
Hey, Hannah, can I have the phone for a sec? I'd just love to talk to Junko.
I don't think you need to talk to Junko.
Hannah, why don't you turn it on speaker?
Yeah.
Junko's very sensitive, and I don't want to, this is a private conversation.
Okay, all right, Hannah, can you just do this for me? Can you just ask Junko if they know where you are?
Why would Junko know where I am?
That's my question. Does Junko know where you are? Ask him.
Junko, where am I right now?
I am unable to divulge that information at this time.
See, it's perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong.
Hey, can you ask Junko where the nearest Starbucks is?
I mean, I don't see what the relevance is.
Just ask. I'm
this
curious.
This doesn't seem important.
I'm just curious.
Okay, this is a waste of time, but fine. Hey, Junko, do you know where the nearest Starbucks is?
The nearest Starbucks is located 0.2 miles from your current location on Pigeon Street.
What?
It seems like Junko's normal and fine, so we don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about, Hannah.
Totally normal.
Anyway, let's play D&D.
Nice. Good job, everybody.
Great job, everybody.
Great. And scene. Great.
And
great.
Scene.
Great job. Great job, Noelle.
Good job, Noelle.
I carried the whole
thing. You
whole
really
scene.
Carried that whole thing, dude.
Hello. I am Kat.
Are you sure?
I am your human DM.
Wow. Mm. Hello. My name is Noelle, and this is Legend Lark, and I play Fran, a Genasi wizard, at level...
I think you guys are 11.
Yeah, I think we're 11.
Level 11.
Hello. My name is Junko Model 4.623. I am the latest in an advanced series of United States surveillance technology. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Junko, you're so funny. Anyway, my name's Hannah. I have a lot of healthy relationships in my life, and I play Slake, a level 11 half-orc fighter. So I guess
I'm not a Genasi wizard anymore. Now I'm a Genasi wizard rogue.
Oh, that's right.
A wizard.
A wogue.
I think a wogue.
I'm a wogue.
Wogue politics ruining America.
Yeah.
Okay, so last time, you guys... You guys went back to check on the dwarves, and you found them under siege by the mercenary company that you didn't engage, the Black Kestrels.
Yes.
Yes, and they
killed their asses.
Killed their asses so good. And then after that, you had to decide what to do with the dwarves, because obviously you can't just leave them in a train in the middle of the woods, clearly.
Now I remember this.
Yes. So you guys debated that for quite a while, and I don't know how much of it will make it into the podcast, but it was a long conversation in real life.
What do you mean, real life?
The life you have with Junko. Anyway.
She's real to me.
All right, and then you decided to take the dwarves back to Estra, New Estra, despite their strong anti-magic tendencies. Mm-hmm. So you took them to Estra.
But we took them, and we said you need to have a hill between you.
The hill
is going to solve everything.
It's going to solve all the problems.
And all the dwarves said, if we can't see the magic, we'll be fine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so we just need the hill, and we'll live inside the hill.
And some umbrellas.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be okay.
Yeah, and that'll be good.
They also don't want to see the sky or the people who are funding their... their situation.
Yes. Yep. Nope. Yeah. They are, you know, listen, it's been a hard time for them.
Yes.
they just want to close their eyes and survive and not look around.
And not perceive.
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys took them back to Estra. They got a little hill going for them. And then you sat down to plan. Plan what is going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Fran, the planning man.
So I remember we talked about what our resources were as far as like armies.
Yeah. We talked about possible entrance points into Estadel. Yep.
Anyway, Fran, you and Mary also went aside and had a sort of weird conversation about how powerful Mary is or isn't, as the case may be. And so that's where we are now, in the library in New Estra. So Mary leads you back to the group, Fran, and signs to all of you. All right, let's focus. What next?
I think we need to go to, I don't know, a temple and pray to whoever we need to talk to. I think I need to get more information from Wavell.
Mary nods and then looks to Laika. Oh, yeah. We have a temple space set up just at the bottom of the tower. I can take you guys there. And Mary shuffles and says, I'll wait here with the casters till we start getting responses back.
You don't want to see big statues of you, Mary?
Mary, you know, she looks very uncomfortable and nods.
Yeah. That's understandable. I'll tell you if they're good likenesses or not.
They're really good likenesses. I made sure of it.
Yeah, it says you.
I know what Mary looks like. And as you're saying this, Laika is walking you guys out. So,
we'll see. Mary, but like...
Mary on the cover of Fantasy GQ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Laika is turning even redder. And she takes you guys around to a very beautiful door. It's not the main entrance to the tower. But it's around the back. There's a beautiful carved white door with scenes carved in it of the deer and the wolf and the crow gods all coming together with Kai in the middle.
Mm.
And she opens the door, and inside there is, a statue of Mary and a statue of Kai. And it is sort of a mother-daughter sort of scene. Mary walking forward and Kai with sort of a hand on her shoulder as though she's like guiding her.
All right, we're not going to tell Mary about this.
No, Mary cannot see this shit.
Laika shifts uncomfortably and says, I kind of told them not to, but...
I get it. I mean, they were like super into Kai, so...
Yeah, they're still getting used to the whole Kai's dead thing. Well, I mean, is she dead?
Well, I mean,
it's complicated.
Do gods ever really die?
Digimon don't.
What? It's from TV.
So, do the Estrans not know about Kai being maybe not the best?
Laika shrugs and she says, I don't know how to tell them. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what you guys have learned either. I've just
You didn't read my diaries?
Why would I read your diary?
I gave you them to read.
I thought you were just giving them to me for safekeeping.
No, I literally...
Fran cut out like 400 pages of weird Phelan fanfic just for you.
I didn't need... But I did edit it for you to read, and it was a lot of work.
Fran, you're my friend. I would never read your diary.
But I want you to read them.
Okay, it's
literally just like battle information and like what we've been doing.
Okay, I just thought I was being respectful.
Like a couple of kiss scenes from Phelan that she probably couldn't edit out without maintaining the narrative.
I only left in one. Carmen, you're so embarrassing.
Okay, fine. I'll read them tonight. It'll be my bedtime story to myself.
It'll be pretty depressing, but I hope you enjoy, and it'll be good for you to know everything that we know. And actually, you know what, Laika? I just remembered. I should really talk to you before you read those. Why don't you give those back to me?
Don't do it. Keep them.
There's a couple things that I think you should hear from someone else before.
Well, you
just read it by yourself alone in a room. You know, all the stuff about Orvate.
I was right. I shouldn't have read your diaries.
You didn't cut that out?
What?
Well, no, I want Laika to know. Laika, give me back the pages.
Not in the book, though.
I don't have them with me. They're under my mattress in my room.
Okay.
It's the safest place they could be.
All right, well, just promise me you'll talk to me before you read them.
Okay, fine, weirdo.
You're the weirdo.
You're the weirdo.
Fran, you're lashing out.
Okay, Laika, I care about you, and you're making me feel angry because you're being a weirdo.
I think it was nice that you tried to respect Fran's privacy.
See, I think Slake is a better friend.
Okay, hey everybody. Why don't we stop using accusatory language and start using I feel sentences?
I feel like Laika's a weirdo.
Fran?
I feel like Slake understands the point that I'm trying to make, and I'm just saying, thank you, Slake.
No problem.
Wow.
Anyway, if you guys...
Fran looks at Corbin and she's just like, oh, wow, I hope you're happy with yourself.
I'm not on anybody's side here except for my own.
Anyway, I'll let you guys, you know, talk to the other gods and stuff, and I'll make sure nobody comes in.
All right, thanks, Laika.
All right, and she leaves to go stand outside the door.
And then we can talk about which gods after we've...
Or yeah, here's what I would want you guys to do is each of you pick a god and pray.
Okay.
So, yeah, Fran kneels down and she's gonna cast like an illusion of a little Wivel altar as a token of goodwill, and then she closes her eyes and prays to Wivel and says, Wivel, are you there? I'm sorry about that thing. we kind of could use some knowledge at the moment. It's time.
So you give your prayer to Wivel and you hear his voice in your ear. Mm-hmm. He says, Kai never taught you how to pray, did she? If you are asking something of a god, give something in return.
What is it you like again? Memories? All right. So Fran pictures in her mind the party they had. Again, a party, but the ball that they had in, I think it was in Madria, like after she confessed to Phelan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one to give up. Tragic. All right. You feel that memory slip from your mind, like a rope slipping through your fingers until you have no idea what happened at that point in Madria. It's just your memory just skips over it. And once it's so gone, you don't even remember it being there in the first place. Wivel answers you again. He says, I can do little for you, I'm afraid. Many of us have already been solicited by Torva. Some have agreed to side with him, and those who do not wish to die by his hand
have promised to stay out of it.
And who is that?
And Fran takes out a book to write down. she dips her little quill in some ink.
Names, please.
The burn book.
So Lavelle considers for a moment. And he says, well, what you gave me is enough to ask a second question, I suppose. But don't get greedy. I am staying out of it, to the extent that this prayer will be the last you hear of me.
Oh, God. Okay.
Great.
The beast gods that you have not met will not come to your aid. They are frightened animals in the face of a bushfire. Ask for no help from the trickster and the thief.
Bitches. So I bought that guy that drink for nothing.
The others surprise me. His siblings, of course, will side with him. They are all held by the same force who drives them to this end. The one that surprises me is the child.
The child?
Yes. They has not responded in a very long time. And last I heard, they were supporting Torva's goal. Their parent, of course, will not fight against them.
Okay, so Fran nods and looks at her list. And then she says, what could you give me in exchange for my perspective on the battle?
You wish to promise me something you have not already done. Interesting. I could not weigh the worth of such a thing.
You have the ability to watch over things, right?
Hmm.
So what if you get all the knowledge of all the plans I've made and you can watch from my eyes what happens?
Very interesting. I will offer you, in exchange for this very tantalizing source of information, I offer you the answer to one more question.
When the betrayer has been split in two in order to betray himself, I want to know how to put him back together.
Look to Kai. She has done what none of us have dared to do, and sacrifice herself to herself. There may be knowledge there that would help you with your goal.
Okay. So how does this work? Do you, like, zap me in the brain with, like, a little robot from TV?
No. But your eyes are mine, your ears my ears. What your hands touch, I shall feel. The wounds you take, I shall not take with me.
Hmm.
And then you get the sense that he's gone. But yeah. He's also definitely with
you.
But
also not gone.
Yeah.
All right. Damn. And Fran kind of nods and goes, this one's about to be a doozy, buddy.
All right. So you snap out of your trance, Fran. Mm-hmm. And so you said you made that little illusionary shrine to Wavell.
Yeah.
The illusion has changed of Wavell's little statuette in that shrine. Before, when he is always depicted, he is depicted with many hands, usually sort of in a halo around him.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of those hands are pointing at you.
Ooh.
Can I dispel it, or does it just stay when I try to?
Oh, it dispels it easily enough.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's just giving you a little spook.
A little spooky time. How did it go?
You know. He, okay, so I got a list of all the gods that are planning to stay out of it and who we know is on Torva's side, or who Wavell knows is on Torva's side. And honestly, it's not that many gods.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So his siblings are on his side, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
V, the child god, is on his side. The beast gods, except for the ones that we know, are going to stay out of it. And the Coloni also, I think, are planning to stay out of it. But I think they're on our side secretly, don't you think? I mean, well, they better be. I bought that guy that drink.
I mean, after all the flirting that Slake did.
You know what? I don't think it depends on the drink, but I see. Okay. And then the parent god of V is not going to go against Torva. I think Torva's burned a lot of bridges, so to speak.
Wow. Who would have thought?
I mean, well, that's really good news. That's not a guarantee that anybody who wasn't mentioned will be on our side, but it's a guarantee that they did not already join Torva, which is good. So, yeah, I think, Corbin, you should have Pavia entreat the other gods to maybe at least maybe give us a boon, if not outright join. But
yeah,
I mean, the fighting gods are on his side, so that's not great for us. How many of those are there again? You'd know better than me, Slake.
Let's see, the sword.
Mm-hmm. The sword.
The spear.
Yep. You know he's got the spear.
The shield.
Mm-hmm.
And
the axe.
The axe.
And the archer.
And the arch. Wait, isn't that like Wea or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, Wea.
Well, we don't know why that's up with Wea. Maybe she's around, maybe she's
well,
not.
Well, it sounded like Wavell also said that they're compelled by the same mm-hmm. force that yeah. he is, so it sounds mm-hmm. like it's maybe not like entirely even up to them in some ways.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. We've established that before with Phelan, who has yeah. done things he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he is compelled by the forces.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's next?
All right. Okay, should Corbin pray or just pass out?
You can do, I suppose, yeah, that's true. Maybe you should just pass out.
I mean,
out.
That's how you pray to
Yeah, that's
everybody.
True. That's true. Okay, I'll just pass out then. Corbin passes out.
There he goes.
All right, Corbin, you pass out.
Mm-hmm.
You enter the world of dreams. Mm-hmm. You're not really trying to do anything, so I'm not going to make you roll for this.
Yeah, I'm just looking to have a chat.
You're looking to have a chat. So you're hanging out in that sort of black void space where you usually meet Pavia's messages or where you begin your visions. And after, you can't measure time in here, but you've been hanging out staring at the blackness for what feels to you like a few minutes. And then you feel a tap on your shoulder of a very cool hand.
Yes.
And when you turn around, it's Pavia standing there, serene, milk white Pavia. And she smiles down at you. She says, "Well done, Corbin. You have come so far since last we spoke."
Oh, I was not prepared for this. Okay.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Oh my god. Thanks. Can I call you Mom?
Pavia considers this for a moment and then, "If that would make you feel best."
Thanks, Mom.
All right. "Now, child, tell me what need you have of me, for the final battle draws close, and there is much to do."
Oh, hold on, I have to put myself back together.
Take all the time you need. Time does not exist here.
Oh.
Oh, that's nice. I think I need two things.
"Ask and they will be yours if it is in my power to do so."
Okay. The first is a friend just talked to Wavell and he said that some people were not on anybody's side or abstaining, and some people were fighting for Torva, but there were a lot of people he didn't mention, like the shadow gods. He didn't really say anything, so I was wondering if you could talk to them and see if maybe they would help us out, or at the very least not help Torva.
You ask for my siblings to make a commitment.
But if they want to.
They surely do not.
That doesn't surprise me.
The twins have done what they feel they can do without endangering themselves. They are, at their core, selfish deeply.
That's the Kaloni.
Yeah, the twins. The crone will do as she will. She has no allegiances to offer and no predictions to make. She is a god of that which is unknown, and her actions are always thus.
And that's Seeker's god, Hetlia.
Yeah, Hetlia. As for the Shadowmaker, the child is new to the position and has learned much in the time since last you spoke with them. I could not say if they are strong enough to stand against Torva yet, but I will speak to them. They are, due to their age, I suppose, the most reasonable of us, and may simply not understand what is at stake.
Cool. Thanks. And then I guess one other thing that's not related to the two that I mentioned before, so technically there's three, but this one's, is Jonbo, like, super dead?
And Pavia looks pained at that.
My wayward brother. He has lived as though dead for centuries. I still feel him. He exists somewhere outside of that which is, deep into that which is not. He is not well, but he is still there.
He's like in super turbo hell.
He was gay, and that is punishable only by death.
Only by the super hell.
The punishment is death, and then super turbo hell.
And then super turbo
my
hell.
Baby boy.
She says he is not well, but he exists still. I know that he wishes to help you, if he can. I will see if I can reach out to him through the void, but once our forms are given to that which is not, our minds do not last long.
Is there anything that we can do to help him?
Pray to him. He has no power, he has no worshippers. He has very little left to sustain him.
Okay. I think we can get people to pray. Okay. And then, could you also, if you can, talk to the water gods and then Farah and Ava to see if they want to help or abstain at the least.
I will see what I can do to urge them one way or another, though I can tell you already that Farah has been quite busy.
Yeah, I figured that one would probably be a no.
I cannot see the results of that battle. It is clouded for me, as that is a domain of Farah's, and I cannot see within. If she is not too damaged from the battle, she will likely send you a boon.
Cool. I figured that one. And then the last thing is, we don't have names yet, but when we do, it would be really good and cool if you could send our, like, battle plans to the people that we have coming in a dream so that they're up to speed right away. And then maybe you could see if they want to pray to Jumbo too, to help him become like a super god or something. Get out of turbo hell.
When you know to whom you wish to communicate and what you wish to say to them, write their names upon fresh calf skin and place it into the hottest coals. When all burns white, I shall see it.
That's not vegan.
That's not vegan at all. Does that work all the time? Like, if I just wanted to send you, like, a little message, to be like, hey, how you doing?
Oh, Corbin, you and I have a much more direct link than that.
That's true. I probably don't need... That'd be mean to the calves. That'd be really mean to the calves.
It is an old sacrifice that all gods are fond of.
Okay. Cool.
Is that, that's fucking hate cows, dude.
Dude, yeah. They hate cows, dude. Okay. That's all then. Thanks. Thank you, Pavia Mom.
You are welcome, my child. Now, wake up.
Oh, he's back.
Fran's just been like squatting next to your head, yeah, like staring like, at your face.
Staring down at me. Yeah.
I imagine Corbin, you just wake up to like Fran directly above you, yeah. And then Slake above Fran.
I sit up immediately and I smash my forehead against Fran's face.
I don't deserve this. I'm a good person.
You doing all right, Corbin?
Yeah, good. What Pavia said that she's gonna talk to her siblings, but like probably most of them are not gonna do anything. They're all like selfish assholes. The gray will maybe help us. But I'm kind of worried about it because it sounded like she was saying they don't like know what they're doing, but they're like, it sounds like they're like a wild card child coming out, guns blazing.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
Anyways.
Well, maybe they'll remember, you know, when we help them out.
No, I think they will, but I think they maybe just don't realize what they're going to get themselves into.
Right. Did she say anything about Jonbo?
Yes. Yeah, she did. She said that Jonbo is, like, he's dead, but he's not, like, dead, but he's in a bad place, and we need to get people to pray to him, and that would help him, maybe.
Oh, well, I mean, that's good he's not, like, gone.
But he's gone, like, I think he's gone in the way that Pavia was gone.
Is gone.
Yeah.
So he could come back.
So I'll break this down just because I think you guys have forgotten something.
Yeah.
When a god has no vessel and they are in the void, that is when they start to like
become a monster.
Yeah, like right, they become monstrous. Right. So,
but you can get a vessel. Like we sent Torva to the void.
Yeah, you sent Torva to the void, and they gods are able to protect themselves for a certain period of time by creating basically their own pocket.
Dimension.
Which is like what Mary did.
Yeah, that's what Mary did. But like as you found out with Phelan, they have to have enough power to be able to do that.
And right.
They get their power from prayers and sacrifices. Mm-hmm.
Time to kill some cows, bitch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The cows gotta go.
Yeah.
Listeners, it is Noelle. I come to you once again with a sad, sad tale of my sadness. If you hear a distant licking noise, that's my dog licking my foot obsessively. He's sick and twisted. All right, so as last episode, we didn't have a mid-roll. We got some things to take care of today. The first thing I want to do is just to thank our lovely friends at Adventurers Codex for buying an ad from our store. And I want to let you know all about Adventurers Codex. Adventurers Codex is a tool to help you manage your D&D and TTRPG games. Players can use Adventurers Codex to manage their characters, track their HP, spell slots, weapons, items, and more in one convenient place. Adventurers Codex even tracks your short and long rests and resets your magic items at dawn. DMs can use Adventurers Codex to build campaigns, track player progress, and even manage initiative. Adventurers Codex also connects entire parties, allowing the DM to see character stats in real time. The party chat makes it easy to share links or images with the group. And the exhibit function allows DMs to share images, text, and more with a single click. Adventurers Codex is free to use, so if you'd like to check it out, go over to adventurerscodex.com and sign up. If you like it, please consider becoming a patron on Patreon. That's adventurerscodex.com. Thank you so much, Adventurers Codex, and all ye lovely listeners out there, make sure you check it out. It sounds actually very, very cool. Next up, I want to do a little advertisement of our own. We have new postcards in our store at legendlark.store. They are like Guardians, like college AU type vibe. And they say little, you know, pithy traveling sayings such as wish you weren't here and etc. And also we still have our summer sale going on at the store. So if you would like to buy something, but with savings, I recommend getting over to legendlark.store as soon as possible. I also want to apologize to our Legend Lark Cliptacular giveaway entrants because I totally missed that I was supposed to thank the rest of you last time. So I am so sorry. Allow me to thank you now, the remainders. By the way, you guys did so amazing and the response was more than we dreamed of. So thank you guys so, so much for submitting all your clips and for loving our podcast and for even, you know, paying enough attention to our little silly podcast to know what clips to choose. It really means a lot. So I want to give out a special thanks to The Silly, to Ray, to Road Egg 1 and Road Egg 2, to C, AKA at Joyful Adorable. I love you, Joyful Adorable. At War Centipedes, Blue Sky, Rose Camp, the person, not the arc, and Wiccan Witch of the West. Thank you so, so much. I also, of course, want to thank our new patrons who support us over on Patreon. If you don't support us on Patreon yet, I totally understand. Like sometimes we don't have the money that we'd like to throw at random things, but I do just want to like tell you that the stuff on Patreon is really awesome. And I'm very proud of the selection and the variety and the sheer amount of content we have there. If you have reached this point in the podcast, you are amazing. And obviously you have, I mean, I hope that if you've listened to like almost like 200 hours of our podcast that you like it at this point. So if you've gotten to the end and you are like, what am I going to do as I wait for these slow ass episodes to come out? Please, please, my friend, I just would love it if you would head on over to Patreon because we have, I mean, we have a lot of free stuff there for one thing, but we also have tons of stuff that you can pay for. We have extra audio. We have extra episodes. We have videos of us. We have live streams of us playing video games. We have extra lore. We've got it all. We got polls, maps, art, coupons to get cheaper music, everything. So, yeah, I would just, you know, if you've listened this far, I just would encourage you to just think about it because there's nothing like knowing that there are people out there that give a crap about our podcast, especially as we all work fairly stressful full-time jobs and try to do this in our free time. It really means a lot, and it gives us more time to spend on it when we know that there's like monetary value to what we're creating and that people like it. So anyways, all that to be said, thank you so much to our new patrons. Sorry. Thank you, Beck. Thank you, James. Thank you, Ewan. Thanks, Wynn. Thank you, Lara. Thank you, Her Crabisty. Really good name. Thank you, Quentin. Thank you, Adam. And thank you, Rebecca. You guys keep the lights on. Oh, we appreciate you so much. And while we're on the topic of thank yous, I just would love to thank the people who have left us reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much to Rec Badger. Thank you so much to Person Dude Guy Yup Yup, who just... Googie, I swear to God. Googie. Oh my God, my dog. Oh, Googie, no, please. Googie. He's staring at me and wagging his little tail. And he's like, I've ruined your life. Yeah, you have, Googie. Just relax. Anyway, Person Dude Guy Yup Yup is always out there scamming Apple Podcasts, and we love them for that. And they're a patron now, and we love to hear that a longtime listener, first-time patron. That is our favorite story. Thank you to Awesome Toretter. Thank you to Terezabeth, to Danielle R., and I think that's it. Thank you guys so much. We so appreciate you. We are so helped by reviews on Apple Podcasts, so keep them up, please. Chantel, beautiful Chantel, we are going to go to a wedding together in just a couple weeks. Chantel, the code word is Googie, I swear to God, I'm trying to activate a sleeper agent right now. Please stop squeaking your ball. Sorry. I'm so sorry, sleeper agent. the code word is Reverie au Soleil. The sleeper agent is active. Go.
Slyke?
Yeah, okay. So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about the last time I saw Vioni, was it?
It was when she sent you to go.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's been a long, long time. Mm-hmm. The only Vioni interaction we've really had since then was that you did see her followers after the Battle of Ilfra.
Oh, yeah, like scavenging.
Scavenging, yeah. You saw the boatman who was Jumbo.
Yes.
He pointed them out and was, you know, basically mentioned that, like, Vioni's followers are reappearing.
Yes.
Because she's alive again.
Yeah. Okay. I think that gives me enough to go on. So I think I'm going to try and pray to Yoan because I feel a little more comfortable talking to him first.
Yeah, your beetle dad.
Yeah. Do I need to set up like a little shrine or whatever?
I mean, I figure you probably have an amulet or a sign of Yoan that you would have.
Okay.
Like, I think that's something.
Put Darius out.
Yeah, I was yeah,
that's actually probably, well, yeah, actually, put Darius out.
Yeah.
That'll reveal some information for you.
Okay, I put Darius out on, like, a nice little surface, and I maybe, like, fish some, like, twigs and things out of my pockets, and, like, I arrange, like, a cute little circle around Darius.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I say, hope this works. And I guess I clasp my hands, and I say, hi, Yoan. I'm calling you because we're gonna have, like, our big final battle with Torva pretty soon, and I think I should talk to you and Vioni, but I'm a little scared. So, if you could come to my aid and we could talk about it, that would be really cool.
So, it's like when you open your eyes again after you've finished saying what you say. You notice that everything around you is just a little bit darker. And when you look at Darius, at first you think it's maybe just a trick of this weird light. You think it's just a trick of this weird light, but then you realize, no, this is happening. Darius is getting bigger.
Oh.
And bigger. And suddenly he is of a height with you, and then taller and bigger. And then you are staring up at Yoan, his huge beetle form looking down at you. Fran and Corbin, you do not see this.
Mm.
You are just looking at Slyke talking to a beetle. And from your perspective, Slyke is just sort of in a trance, as you know, each of you were when speaking to gods.
I look up in awe and I say, oh, you look beautiful.
And Yoan gives a creaky little laugh and says, ah, I appreciate the compliment. There are so few who see the beauty in the crawling things.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to appreciate good things.
Indeed. You call upon me for the apex of your destiny is nigh, yes?
I guess, yeah.
You have done very well by myself and my mother. Would you like me to pass her a message, or would you like me to summon her?
I guess maybe it'd be good to talk to her. Can you stick around, though?
Yes, I will be by your side, as I have always been.
Thanks, Yoan.
Of course, of course. Now, prepare yourself. She comes.
And then, after sort of you feel like a shiver go down your spine, And you feel the sensation of your knees and your feet sinking into soft earth. Though when you look down, you are still on the stone floor of the temple. But you feel the sensation of damp and rot sort of oozing up around you as Vione makes her presence known. And you look over your shoulder, and there she is. She looks entirely different than last time you saw her. She has the shape changer's body now, and she can look however she wishes. And this time she comes to you in the form of a woman with long, very raggedy hair, dressed in rags. And she smiles at you and crouches down so she is at eye level and says,
"Hello, little one. My chosen. Your actions have honored me through all these very long months. I am glad that my faith was not misplaced."
Gee, thanks. Yeah, I mean, you probably know already, but we've got this big battle with Torva coming up, and we could really use any sort of help you might be able to provide.
Would that I could, little one. But the hands which hold Torva's reins hold mine as well. I am not very strong. My followers are not many. I have little power to fight him. Or to fight the force which drives us both. I will be there on the battlefield when you are. And I will do what I can to shield you from harm. But I will be there to pick clean the bones of those who fall. What I can do will be very limited.
Okay, well, good to know, I guess.
I will do this for you. And I am sorry that I must, and that this must be the only way I can help. What power you have comes from me. And so it comes from Rael. I will keep him from tugging upon your will. I will shield you. It may be all that I can do, but it is something, is it not?
I mean, that wasn't even something I knew that I should be worried about, so, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. All things slain upon a battlefield must return to me. And I will do with that what I can. I can promise you no more. But know that I am proud of you for all you have accomplished.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about the implications of that. But, cool, then. Good to talk. And I kind of weirdly, awkwardly, stiltedly reach my hand out for, like, a handshake.
And Vione clasps your hands and brings her face very close to yours. And you smell the wave of rot that rolls off of her as she smiles her broken and crooked smile at you.
There is one other of us who does not wish to fight at Torva's side, one who has more power than me, and may be able to resist.
There is?
I will see if I may speak with my sister.
You mean Wea?
We shall see. She has many reasons to fight against Torva, and very few to fight for him, save for that which binds us both. For now, take my blessing and kill that bastard.
And she kisses your forehead, and then you blink and the room is back to normal and Darius is just a little guy.
I pick up Darius and I pet his little back and I hold him close to my chest.
Oh, he skitters around your palm and then, you know, his pet, and then sort of skitters up your shoulder and nestles in next to your neck.
How'd it go, buddy?
She said she was proud of me.
Yeah, that's weird when they say that, isn't it?
Novell didn't say that to me.
I mean, maybe that's better.
Well, I know a lot, so... are you doing okay, Slake?
Do you ever feel like... you're just like... a pawn in, you know, this game that the gods are playing, and then you realize that the role that you're playing as a pawn is essentially a butcher?
I've been talking about this exact thing.
I actually have, I don't have that feeling. My god is dope as fuck, and we're chill. Sorry, couldn't be me.
That's how Corbin describes his relationship with his god. Dope as fuck, we're chill. No reverence.
There's tons of reverence. She's like the cool mom.
She's bringing you guys orange slices. Yeah.
Anyways, like, yeah, I do understand that feeling. But I think the choices we have to make about how the gods end up is going to be after we beat Torva. If at any time at all. So first we gotta butcher up some bodies. Then we can worry about having morals.
Slake, like, hangs their head. And they kind of look down at their hands.
What did I say?
Like, it's not like you've killed anybody who didn't, like, mostly deserve it.
I don't know, we need to get into that.
Slake covers their face with their hands and is, like, just rubbing, like, up and down over their face.
I've killed tons of people.
It's normal to be raised as a child soldier. I think we all feel that way. Where's Laika?
And that Laika comes rushing in.
Laika, we need your help.
What happened?
Tell Slake it's okay to kill people.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to tell me it's okay to kill people.
Like, talk about how normal it is to just have a moral panic about killing people and then realize that it's the ultimate necessary choice to vanquish ultimate evil.
Laika sort of awkwardly puts a hand on your shoulders, like, and says, we haven't known each other for, like, more than, I don't know, cumulatively maybe a couple hours. But, you know, the first time I had to kill someone, I really tried not to kill them. I was making sure everything I did was non-lethal. And then one day I just realized that's not gonna work forever. And, sometimes we gotta give up our own morals to fight the good fight and kill gods. So, you know, God killers!
Did that work for you?
Well said, Laika, by the way, well said.
I take my hand and listen. I kind of pull it down my face so it's just covering my mouth and you can see my eyes.
Like, it worked, I think.
It's okay if you forgot to keep saying non-lethal. That's okay, Slake.
And you can see I'm kind of, like, tearing up a little, and I say, I'm just looking forward to when this is over and I can make things and not have to kill people.
You're really good at making things, like...
Yeah. You're very talented.
Oh, you like to, like, make art and stuff? Look, I did my own armor. And, like, I start showing off the pictures of wolves that she drew on, like, each bicep of her armor. And it's like, and look at this one. I've got a wolf, and he's running. And I think I really captured the motion on this one.
I'm smiling and like a very, like, shaky smile and tearing up, and I say, that's really cool.
We're not just one thing, you know? We're not just what we have to do to fight this fight. At the end of the day, we're all still gonna be people. And, you know, maybe when this is all done,
you can show me your art, and you can teach me how you do things, and I can show you how to make cool running wolves on your art. And maybe we can have a collab. Let's do a sick collab!
That sounds great. Thanks.
Fran, meanwhile, is very pensive.
Fran, what's up? You good? Do you need a word of wisdom?
I just gave so many words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Fran.
No, you're off the hook, like I'm good.
Like is,
oh. God, I didn't really have any more words of wisdom.
Okay.
Well, did you guys get what you needed, or did the gods answer you, or were they just weird and cryptic as always?
Jorge no los all. Yeah, they were weird and cryptic, but I think we got some good information and some good, resources.
Well, a messenger came while you guys were in session with the gods, and they're starting to get responses on the sendings. So if you want to come back to the library, we're just writing them all down right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys, let's get peppy. Come on.
Slake is like staring off into the middle distance.
Corbin had a good interaction with his god, and he's just like, why are you guys all happy?
Corbin's like, I don't get it. Like, my mom rules. What's wrong with you guys?
Slake is like, we're all just meat.
Fran was fine until Slake started to have until moral Slake, quandaries.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys head back to the library where Mary is sitting with the five spellcasters who helped her do the sendings, as they are each scribbling furiously as they each take down the response that they receive from their sending. And she looks at you guys and then looks a little puzzled at the weird mood. And she signs, are you guys okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
Yeah, yep.
I'm a butcher.
Mary, would you think of me? Do you think of me as a person?
What the fuck?
Do you think of me as a person?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, of course.
What is a person?
I've been
collection of synapses.
No.
A miserable little pile of secrets.
No, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, actually. I don't know if I know the answer to it, but I know that whatever designs the gods have on us, that's not who we are. We're what we do, and the choices that we make. So, I guess a person is just making your decisions in the face of fate and living with them.
Fran looks even worse.
Yeah, Slake doesn't look good either.
Yeah, cool. Alright, anyway, what messages did we get back?
Mary looks distressed. Looks towards Corbin.
Corbin throws his hands up like he does not fucking know. Like, so much inspirational bullshit's been thrown at these two, and they are just getting more and more depressed. There's no helping them.
Well, Mary waves her hands as if to dispel what she just said and says, well, you're people to me.
You're people to me, too. We're all people to each other.
We're all people. We all have to live with the weight of our decisions.
You guys, we're all just bags of meat on a big rock and nothing matters.
I think that's not the
thanks,
right...
Thanks, Corbin!
Corbin, I think you've gone too far in the other direction.
Oh, well, but... it helps me to think about it like that sometimes.
You know, that's true, Corbin. I'm feeling better.
Okay, see, it worked.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go make more corpses for the corpse pile!
Like, I really wouldn't think about it that way.
Mary actually, she frowns and she sends the other people away, the other mages. And she says, it's like, if you don't want to fight, you don't have to.
Oh, Mary. I mean, a lot of people are going to die either way, right?
I think if we don't do anything, I don't know how many people will survive.
Yeah.
So, I think our only goal right now, really, besides obviously killing Torva, which is a net good, our goal is to make sure as many people survive as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I'm the god of, so that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for
everyone's survival. And it's gonna suck a lot to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm really scared too, but... And she puts a hand on your shoulder, Slake, and says, at the end of all this, we're all gonna get so much therapy.
God, I hope so, Mary.
Yeah, me too.
I was thinking about becoming a bounty hunter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, does that sound cool?
I thought I'd take a pottery class.
Yeah, that's really
I'll
cool.
I'll take a pottery class with you, Slake.
I'll sit behind you.
Okay, just don't, like, bounty hunt me.
No, I was thinking more like in the fantasy what? Ghosts.
You know that I don't know about telepathic missions.
I'm sorry.
Maybe we could watch some.
Okay. Yeah, that, you know, that's okay. We'll have telepathic vision night every Friday.
I'd really like that.
So, like, the longer you guys keep talking about this, like, what everything will be like after, the more Fran kind of shrinks away from the group, and she crosses her arms, and she sort of laughs and murmurs to herself, therapy, pottery class, TV night, and we'll all still be friends.
When you know what you wish, when you know who you, sorry, I had a burp in there and I was trying not to burp, but
beautiful. Mm-hmm. If Pibia burps, can you imagine?
Can you imagine? Oh my God.
The abyss.